Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and joining us now, as he does, you know, every Wednesday at this time, Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew. Good morning.
Always good to have you. So let's talk about Baptist, because I think since we last talked, there has been, you know, things happen. The county finally moved and decided that they were going to fund $500,000 to purchase these two out parcels, or acquire these two out parcels, which are going to be used for a community center and some kind of health care. You have said, and you repeated yesterday, that that's all fine and good, but I wonder if we can't maybe sell them for more money directly and recoup some of the delta cost of the $2 million that is not being paid for into the cost of the demolition. You seem to indicate that we could go one way or the other. We're going to go down both paths at the same time. Anything I'm misunderstanding here?
No, that sounds about right. I mean, we're in conversation with the county. And again, let's delineate between contribution to the project and a property transaction. We are now in the property transaction phase. You know, there was no contribution necessarily to the project, which is where we are. I think we need to assess it before I go back to our council members and our citizens and say, hey, we have to come up with additional dollars out of the CRA or anywhere else. The whole idea of this conversation about adding additional parcels was in anticipation of a delta. So it would be fiscally responsible of us to say, well, how much money can these buildings get on the market versus what the positive community impact would be of these other two buildings. So in no way are we ruling that out. And I think there is positive community impact as proposed, but I'm going to be very focused on performance, meaning it's great to talk about a community center. It's great to talk about healthcare. How quickly is that going to be happening? Because if it's just selling a building to the county and it's going to take 5 years for that to come to fruition, then I think the community's much better off going ahead and closing the delta in tax revenue and moving along with the larger project. So that's why I say the kind of the devil's in the details on this.
Yeah.
So we certainly appreciate some offer of trying, something that could be good for the surrounding area, but we have more assessment to do, and we got to just see, again, what the details are and what that looks like, really more than it is the actual dollars itself.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't know what the, assessed value of these properties is, but if you can sell them for $1 million and somebody's willing to develop them into whatever they develop them into, and that's, $1 million to help defray the cost of the demolition that the county was unwilling to give the $2 million for that they kind of originally hinted at or indicated at, I mean, I get that as a decision. We'd all like to have a bunch of things. It's a question of what we can afford to make happen. Speaking of that, something came up yesterday, and the audio was just so bad I haven't been able to play it. The quality just wasn't working on this particular part of the conversation. But I did hear you say, when asked, how the building is going to get demolished, whether it's going to be by, explosives or wrecking ball, or they're going to bring in the, the AC-130 from Hurlburt to do target practice with the 105 millimeter of justice. I know that's not going to happen, but a boy can dream. that you said you didn't know how the thing was going to get demolished and you'd get back. Have you had a chance to find out?
I haven't, but, I was laughing in our office yesterday. I said 10-year-old me would be very disappointed. That would have been my first question.
Right.
That's
right. How did you get so old, DC?
$17 million and all this boring stuff, how big is the wrecking ball that's going to go, which window will be first,
right?
And let me clarify, we the city, everybody on the project certainly knows granularly how this is going to go. I just mean off the top of my head, whether there'd be this part would be imploded or this part would be wrecking ball. What I can tell you right now is, number one, we've been so focused on capital stacking and getting us ready to go that we really haven't asked those questions. But secondly, obviously this is going to be completely already spelled out in the winning bid and all of that. So that answer exists. It's just not necessarily in my brain at the moment. Other than this, then this is what's important. There will be several months of remediation. So it will not be, hey, we hit the button in December and a building starts to come down. Anytime you've ever seen these types of demolitions with asbestos, with things like that, that's what makes it so expensive. I mean, to put it simply, you basically have to almost bag up the entire parcel, so that those things don't get airborne, and then you've got to remediate. So I can guarantee you that the first huge chunk of time is going to be on that before we think of the you know, the 10-year-old me version of how the actual structure will come down.
And including, by the way, as you've mentioned a couple of times, that the concrete crushing will take place off-site instead of right there in the middle of the community, which is a good note. And also, just you mentioned it there briefly, but let's make sure people heard, the intended timeline is December. Like, by, you know, by the end of the year, the towers and the main hospital won't exist anymore. That's the goal, right?
Well, it will begin. It will begin by then. So, I mean, it's going to be – demo is going to be a long process. It'll be throughout 2026.
Not if you use the ships from Hurlburt. It won't. It will not be a long process. I'm kidding.
You know what? We should have thought of that. Yeah, we should have thought of the missile theory. We save a lot of money.
Oh,
you know,
Eglin, test range. Come on, baby. You know, exactly. I know it's not possible, but again, a boy can dream. So
creative thinking in city government.
Right. Again, our 10-year-old selves are very disappointed that we didn't pursue this more eagerly.
Just pack it. Just go an alternate route. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. You know, just on that note, I'm trying to think where the city line is. I think that is county right there. But we had it's a common enough thing. It was a bicyclist. Based on everything, John was there right when it happened, or right after it happened.
Yes.
And this was a bicyclist, it looks like, was in the middle of the night, 4 a.m., riding across Davis Highway, which is a very common place for people to cross. You know, people, vagrants cross there all the time. But it's not just there. But Mr. Mayor, we see this where bicyclists and pedestrians still in our town do incredibly risky, dangerous things crossing roads, terrifying drivers and being hit by drivers a lot of the time. You got a lighting study that you guys are working on. Is that adequate? I mean, to me, it's a mindset thing. I don't want the border wall down Cervantes everywhere, but like, I don't know how to fix this either.
Yeah, and you know what? And I think we probably spin in the hamster wheel for a while if we were to talk about how we can control individual behavior, be it a pedestrian or a driver. I mean, let's talk about red light cameras. You know, there's lots of stupid decisions we see on those cameras, right? That, and so will we be able to ever stamp out the lack of common sense as it pertains to those things? No, but I think that's why there's so much conversation around the built environment as its best way to mitigate. So whether that's better lighting, whether, you know, what's the best we can do? What's the best consolation prize to controlling individuals' lack of common sense as it pertains to decisions they make? I think it's to mitigate the risk by making that sidewalk a little bit wider, making that bike lane a little bit more protected. Those types of things that can kind of protect us from ourselves as much as it can make us more comfortable to ride our bikes or walk with our children along a busier street. And, you know, and you've heard me say this so many times on the show, we spent 100 years building for the car and the thousands before that building for the pedestrian.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're paying for some of that. We need cars. We don't have a subway system here. We need vehicles to be able to move efficiently. But we might have kind of jumped the shark, so to speak, over several generations of how efficiently they need to move in comparison to pedestrian or bicycle safety. So I think that's our task, Andrew, is just to say, listen, you know, how do we lower risk? How do we improve safety outcomes? And if someone's going to still go across eight lanes of road where they aren't supposed to, that's unfortunate, but I don't know that we'd ever be able to control that fully, as you can imagine.
And they 100% are, and I agree with you. There's very little to be done about it. Although I will say, it was nice of you to break some news telling me that you're advocating for the Pensacola subway system. So, okay, we'll look forward to more details soon.
Yeah.
American Cruise Lines. I think it's cool that a cruise ship is coming here. It's a small cruise ship. I think it's like 180 people or something like that. The price tag on this thing that's going to go from New Orleans to Pensacola and stop in Biloxi and other scenic points between is $5,000. Good Lord. But maybe this is a kind of a compliment to us?
Yeah. Listen, I think so. There's a lot of misperception about, you know, I see obviously the conversation about, well, how expensive it is and why would someone only want to go to Pensacola to New Orleans? Well, both of those questions can be answered pretty simply, which is no cruise line that I've ever heard of necessarily picks their arrival or departure destinations based on solely the local market. Obviously, this is where someone to fly into and to fly out of. And for us, you know, first of all, what a compliment that someone, you know, a private company would want to take on financial risk and say, hey, your city is attractive enough for outside visitors to want to spend an extra day here before or after a very expensive crews. You know, I think that's a compliment to us, right? I mean, they can take lots of cities to do this, and they do. So when we had our initial meeting, and the fact that, you know, I think the other thing forgotten here is, you know, Andrew, one of my big FAQs as mayor always is, well, why don't we get a big cruise line? Well, we waved bye-bye to that decision probably 40 years ago when we, if we wouldn't need to have built a terminal, because now you would have to spend the amount of money that the large cruise lines would require you to put in an infrastructure is outrageous. I mean, it'd basically be like, build a new airport for us and maybe we'll come there. So that's not really feasible. So the fact that this size cruise line could do it under the existing infrastructure, I mean, you're going to load up at Plaza de Luna. You know, it's
cool.
As simple as that.
Yeah.
So it's not like we've got to go build a parking garage and a terminal and all of that. And so, I mean, from our position, why would we not want people that would want to come in and come out of, you know, of a city? And again, you know, you don't, every cruise we've ever been on, we didn't say, I'm going to stay a week in Fort Lauderdale, or it's only for Fort Lauderdale people,
right,
or Miami people. This is meant to be. And again, that's the compliment I take is, you know, what a great thing for our market, and what a compliment to our market that someone called us. We didn't call them. They called us and said, man, we think this will be a great, you know, stop for us in and out. And of course we hear that and we say, amazing. We'd love for you to bring tourists that with disposable income that want to come support our local businesses.
Yeah. The cruise to Aruba is not for Arubans. That's a great point. It's a compliment to Aruba and that people want to go there. Hey, hang on for me for just a second, Mr. Mayor.
We do have a breaking news update this morning, seeing reports of one person dead, at least three critically wounded. This is in Dallas, Texas, at an ICE facility there in Dallas, Texas. The suspect was reportedly seen on a roof near the facility, is being described by local news reports in Texas as being a sniper. Now, that suspect has reportedly also died after a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Again, these reports are just starting to come out now, so we will have more more information on this with Fox News, of course, at the top of the hour, and we'll be following this story as well. For now, Andrew, back to you.
All right. Thanks so much, David. I appreciate that. Back to Mr. Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, obviously, you know that there was an article in the paper on the PNJ that comes out that says you, our mayor, and our District 2 representative, Alex Andrade, don't get along, haven't talked to each other a lot. I find this very frustrating. I consider you both very good friends. I admire both of you. I respect both of you, your abilities as legislators or as, you know, executives. And I find it frustrating when my good friends don't get along with each other. Can you, I don't know, what's going on? Can you clarify?
Yeah, listen, I think on the outside, I can understand that frustration. You know, all I've said in the article, and remember, I mean, when I hear about these things, it's through the media, right? So not a phone call, not a text, not a, hey, let's catch up type of thing if there's a concern. And so, you know, and remember, this is spurred by 7 phone calls and 7 letters to our city council saying, why don't you get a say? Now, but the irony of that is I have a great working relationship with all 7 of our council members. So what do you think when they think something might be amiss or there's a concern, what did they do? They all emailed me, called me and said, hey, why are we getting this letter? Like, this is odd. And so whether we agree or we disagree, that's what I mean by functional communication. Every other person, every other disagreement, if it's Mike Kohler, if it's Michelle Salzman, if it's Senator Gates, this is the only outlier where it doesn't get handled that way. And so I agree. I'm happy to have whatever conversation needs to be had, but it's just when we start from the place of we're going to run to the media to have a complaint, or we're going to circumvent the normal functional communication in order to accomplish some political goal or to make some point, then it's kind of broken from there. And that's not certainly something I do. I don't call you if I have an issue with Representative Andrade or anyone else. I try to deal with it, whether I agree or disagree, in kind of a more professional way. So I think that's all I'd ask for. And you know, I've had the same phone number since I was 16 years old. I mean, he knows exactly where to get a hold of me. And you're right, for the better of the city, the same way I called him on election night, I say, hey, for the betterment of the city, we should be working together. And then, you know, 6 months later, the media gets called about an issue. And then that, I hear about it through the media. So,
all right. Well, I'm gonna tell you the same thing that I'll tell Alex. I know Alex listens to the show as well. Please, guys, figure it out. I know not everybody can get along, but please, guys, figure it out, because for the good of the community, I think that it's better if, you know, all of our leaders can get it. I know they cannot always, but, you know, I hope that you will. Let's finish, as we always do, with the lightning round. I've got one for you today that you're going to like. It's the last one. But before we get to that, it was National Cheeseburger Day recently. If you had only a burger with cheese and no other toppings, what is your cheese?
Oh, man, that is a mood-based decision. I would say either cheddar or jack. Depends on how I'm feeling.
All right, I got you. If there were ever going to be an actor who is well-known enough to be elected president, who would that be? If you had to guess. You know, we had a Reagan, of course, but who would it be? Schwarzenegger's not eligible. What person, just because they're an actor, has enough positive cred they can get elected?
Well, you know, if Chris Farley was still with us, I feel like he'd be the, you know.
That'd be the Robin Williams Man of the Year candidate, right? We elected the comedian because he's a comedian. Okay, I got you.
Right, exactly. I mean, I think, listen, in this political climate, anything is believable. I think you could come up with just about anybody.
And the last one, and here I have to tell you to be brief because we're out of time. Are you or a no on the 2 review ball strike requests in the major leagues that they're going to implement next year?
Let's go ahead and do it. I mean, it's 2025. Let's get it right. Let's not lose a playoff game over this scenario.
I figured you'd be there as a former sports guy, but I just wanted to check. Very good. Mayor D.C. Reeves, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
All right. Absolutely. Thanks.